This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're joined right now by Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast, an Odyssey original featuring the most notable names in MLB and all around sports every week. And while that is the official tagline, it's also true because seen some of the guests that Brett gets on, and they're quite impressive. Brett, welcome back to Ben and Woods. Good morning to you and a happy baseball season.
Happy baseball. Yeah, woke up this morning. Time to go back to work and start grinding on and trying to predict what's going to happen, which is virtually impossible, as we found out a year ago.
It's exactly
but
right.
But remember, now that you're on this side, there's no consequences to being wrong.
Literally
anymore.
No consequences. You can have a 20-year career of being wrong every time.
It's amazing how this is what's going to go down. And then 5 months later, so, well, I didn't think it was going to go down like that.
You know, Booney, Ben gets mad at me because he'll ask me, I go, I have no idea. And neither do you. And he's like, yeah, but you're... On this job, you have to give like
we'll
a good,
like,
strong
you
take.
To have an opinion,
right?
You
I mean, like the
opinion,
national
baby.
Championship, and you know, we'll be previewing it. And Woods is like, let's just wait and see how it plays
see
out.
See what tonight. Happens.
Like,
well,
what are we
going to
do
that's
for the next
that's
the
job?
2 hours.
You
got to
tell us what you think. Let's just talk about it. It's fun. Let's just talk
like,
about everybody.
Right. You got out there, and then you got the boys in the room. When you're wrong, they just bury you.
Yeah,
but that's just part. That's just part of the gig. And then once in a while, you drain that 50-footer down the.
Yes.
You know, better than most, and everybody looks at you like, yeah, that's why I'm in this job. I'm a genius.
It's exactly right. The one out of
you
10
remind
times.
Them the one time you were right.
That's exactly
absolutely
right. Well, Booney, right. Man, yeah, the season starts tomorrow, and I know it's got to be for you. Thinking about, you know, when you were playing and stuff, like the day before opening day, because as a fan, as a broadcaster, I'm giddy. I don't want to be here right now. I just want to be tomorrow. I want it to be tomorrow. I want it to be first pitch. As a player, when you played, what was the day before like for you?
Day before, and I'll tell you, it didn't change from my rookie year till my last year in the league. It's the night before. It's that anticipation. You know, you had that last 2 weeks of spring. Sometimes you were ready to go 2 weeks before spring ended. Sometimes it was the last week where it finally all clicked for you. And then you get, you know, you have the song and dance, and you get the couple, you might have a couple more preseason games at home, like, but it's not a real game, you know, so it really doesn't count. And you're just like, let's just get on with it. My years in Cincinnati, when it was a really big deal, they have the big parade, and that's back when the Reds were always opening the season. So there's a even more hoopla there. But once you the night before, then you get to the day of, and then you're going to run through the right field, you know, tunnel, and you're going to line up on the first base side, and you got the butterflies. I always thought, let's just get opening day out of the way. Let's just not embarrass ourselves. Hopefully, win a game. Hopefully, I get a hit. And then you get to game two, and then you kind of settle in, and the grind begins, and it just feels like you're in the middle of June. But that opening day, there's so much anticipation. You want to get off on the right foot. Like I said, players, the one thing they don't want to do, they don't want to embarrass themselves. You don't want to go out on opening day and chase four sliders off the plate and dirt and strike out three times. That's not the way we want to start. It's weird, but that's the little things we think about. On opening day. And then, like I said, once you get past opening day, the butterflies go away, and now it's a job, and now it's that 162 grind.
Brett, one of the big stories of the offseason was how free agency just continued to linger into March. And finally, in these last few days, had the two big pitchers on the market, the Boris clients, Blake Snell last week, and now Jordan Montgomery just yesterday agreeing with the Arizona Diamondbacks, both of them coming to the NL West. How did those two signings in particular, in your mind, impact the NL West race, if they do?
I think they just solidified the fact that the NL West is probably going to be the best division in baseball. I look at the four teams. You got the Dodgers with the super team. They're going through the Ohtani stuff right now. Who knows what's going to happen with that? But you look top to bottom, they're as good as it gets. Padres, man, I think... I've been looking at this Padre team more and more. I like the trades they made. Yep. You know, Soto moving on last year just didn't work out. It's almost like too many young superstars in the same clubhouse. Soto's moved on, but the pieces you got for Soto, the King, Peralta out in the bullpen, I really love that. And looking at that starting rotation with Musgrove, Darvish, you're getting, bringing in Cease, which is big, and King, this King kid from the Yankees, who's he's genuinely been in the bullpen. Now he's going to be a starter. I really like how that looks. And then you got Tatis, Machado, Bogarts, three MVP-type candidates. I like it. You lose Lugo, you lose Waka. But, you know, I think they exceeded expectations. They did about as good as they could do a year ago.
Yep.
Snell's gone. Obviously, that's big. He wins the Cy Young, goes to the Giants. But then you look at the Diamondbacks. I mean, they just got Montgomery with Gallen and Kelly just coming off going to the World Series. We haven't even gotten to the Giants yet, who I think had the biggest offseason. You know, they got Snell, Brandon Webb, who's going to win a Cy Young before it's all said and done.
Logan Webb. Yeah, Logan. You played against Brandon Webb.
Sorry,
yeah, Logan.
Logan. Yeah, I'm sorry. Logan.
Similar repertoires, by the way, the nasty splitter and all that, but and they got Jung Ho Lee and yeah, I mean they
Robbie Ray.
Yeah, Robbie Ray.
You know, 2021, Robbie Ray won a Cy Young. Things didn't go as planned in Seattle, but he's kind of sneaky there coming off Tommy John. If he's right again, Snell, Webb, and Robbie Ray at the top. Jordan Hicks, what's he going to be going from the bullpen to a starter? You bring in Chapman, that shores up the defense. You get Solar, who hit 36 homers a year ago. And this Lee kid coming over from Korea, they're saying he's the best Korean prospect ever. He had a really good spring. I think the Giants really improved themselves the most. So I think it's going to be a four-horse race. I think it's the best division in baseball.
It's yeah,
really exciting.
I think so too. I mean, we said that this morning talking to our pal Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning, and you know, the Dodgers are just, the pressure is squarely on them, in my opinion. And I don't know. And you've gone through the rigors of a season and playoffs and stuff like that. I picked the Diamondbacks, and this is before yesterday going out and getting Montgomery. It's going to take him some time to ramp up, but the hangover effect, is that a real thing for baseball players playing late in October and the grind of those games? Is that something that you're concerned with at all for them?
I don't think so. I think the Diamondbacks were under the radar last year. Nobody gave them a chance in hell of doing what they did. And it's a young group of players that just kept doing it right in your face. And next thing you know, they're a couple games away from winning the World Series. I think that just fed them. It grew them up really quick. Now you're coming back 1 year later with just a mental edge like, yeah, you're going to doubt us again this year. So I think the Diamondbacks are in a really good position. You talk about the Dodgers, and I've been really looking at the Dodgers lately. Yeah, they got the fanfare. You got the obvious, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. It doesn't get much better than that.
It's nasty.
In the middle of the lineup. But I have some questions with the Dodgers, okay? Walker Buehler, how's he going to be? Is he going to be the Walker Buehler we're used to? If he is, he's a definite bona fide number one starter. Glasnow, without a doubt, when he's healthy, is a number one. But he hasn't been healthy that often. When's the last time he pitched 150 innings? I think never. Yamamoto, all the fanfare, $300 million. He's never done it. Had a rough spring. Got hit pretty well out of the gate in that opening day for him. Clayton Kershaw, they're going to really baby him. He's going to be at the end. So I've got a lot of questions for that Dodger rotation. Yes, if everything's right, if Buehler's great, if Glasnow stays healthy, if Yamamoto is everything, you know, lives up to the hype, well, they're in pretty good shape. They got a great bullpen. But then I look at the left-sided infield as well. You got Mookie Betts, a right fielder. I mean, they should ask the Padres to give him one of their shortstops. Mookie Betts, a right fielder, is going to play shortstop at the big league level for 162 games. Mookie Betts, I don't question his athleticism, as good as probably anybody in the game from an athlete standpoint. But to play short, that's a different animal. If he can do it, it'll be one of the most impressive things I've ever seen,
yeah,
going from right field to short. And then you got Max Muncy at third base, who's kind of a defensive liability. The left side of the infield, to me, got a lot of questions. So I don't question the star power in Dodgerville, but there's a lot of what-ifs. And if those what-ifs come to fruition, I don't know. It couldn't be this magical season that it's lining up to be. On top of that, the unbelievable pressures put on them. It's kind of at this point with that team and that star power, it's like, you better win the World Series
or
don't even come back.
Talking to Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods. And Brett, we were just talking about a little war of words breaking out between former teammates Miguel Rojas and Jazz Chisholm. And Jazz calling Miguel Rojas essentially not a good person, not a good captain, not a good athlete. And then Rojas, firing back that, you know, whatever you think of me, you can have your opinion. But to say I'm a bad person when you don't know me, that's what kind of bothers me. Obviously, they're not teammates anymore, but your experience as a player. First, you were a young player, and you've told us a little bit about that, kind of your mentality when you first broke in. And you were a little more confident than I think than some getting to the big leagues, given your family lineage. But I bet, did that rub some people the wrong way as well, being kind of a brash, opinionated, maybe young player compared to maybe the humble guys who come in and don't even want to be seen or heard from for the first season or two?
Without a doubt. And it wasn't, for me, it was never a problem with any of my teammates. It was the opposition. And I had that from a young age. I just had a way about me, a walk and talk. And, you know, you grow up with my family and our place in baseball. Oh, yeah, that's Bob Boone's son. That's great. That's Ray Boone's grandson. You know, so you have that kind of stigma going in. I never cared about that. Like, I don't care who my dad is. I don't care who my grandpa is. You know, as time went on, I don't care about Aaron or Bob or Ray. I'm just here to earn a living and kick your butt. As a young man coming up in the minor league, sure, I had a lot of that. And I had a lot. I had a chip on my shoulder because I was always being compared to, you know, filling these big shoes. And I never looked at it that way. I just thought, my dad's never going to help me. My grandfather's never going to help me get to where I need to go. I've got to do it. So let's pay attention to what I'm doing. You know, I used to, in the minor leagues, go city to city, and the first question would be, well, do you feel the pressure? And I go, yeah, I'm hitting 332. Why don't we talk about that? You know, I'm second in the league at hitting. And I got to the big leagues, and I said, yeah, I'm going to get 3,000 hits. And I was brash, and I was just naive as possibly could be, but I think at the end, looking back and laughing at that young player that I do now, how much I had to learn, it probably was a positive in where I got to in my career, because that blind confidence that I had, I think in the end really ended up being a real positive for me. And there were a lot of life lessons along the way, a lot of getting my butt kicked and falling down, but it taught me how to be a man. It taught me about life a little bit, and I wouldn't change it. But yeah, that young brash kid that Jay Buhner, and I remember just that whole Mariners, you know, early 90s team. I mean, they gave me as hard a time as you can. There were two buses back then. It's like, Booney, you go on bus number two with the coaches. I said, no, I'm going on this bus with you, Buhner. Man, I got a lot of, and deservedly so, I got a lot of grief. They cut my suits in half and cut the buttons off my shirt so I couldn't close my shirt. And I would just do it with a smile and laugh and go, yeah, I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to keep doing it. But the guys, it was tough love. And then behind the scenes, man, they really took care of me, took me to dinner, bought me all new clothes. So it was kind of a win-win for me. And I just did it with a smile. And I didn't take it too serious, but, yeah, I mean, I see a young kid, and I remember as a veteran player, I see a young guy come in the clubhouse and brash and really no clue, but man, he was a baseball player and he believed in himself. You know, he wasn't just talking the talk and telling you what you wanted to hear. He really believed it. And I used to smile at that guy, those type of players, and say, you know, you're going to get beat down, you're going to be humbled, but you believe in yourself. I'll take a room full of those guys versus the guys that just tell you what you want to hear. And really, behind closed doors, we don't really trust, you know, do we really believe what we're saying out there or that vibe we're giving off? So yeah, it's definitely a learning process. I wouldn't do it any other way. But yeah, it's fun to look back at those early years and think, man, did I have a lot to learn?
Well, Brett, after hearing that, I keep an eye on Jackson Merrill, the Padres' new 20-year-old center fielder. I think you're really going to like him.
Oh, yeah.
So keep just kind of an eye on his development going forward. And we'll be chatting with you. We're kind of setting it up that kind of semi-regularly
we'll
throughout the season. Looking forward to it. So we'll talk to you next week. Really appreciate
you
it.
You got it.
Enjoy opening day. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Booney.
Sounds great.
There is Brett Boone, host of the Brett Boone Podcast and Odyssey Original. Make sure to follow the Brett Boone Podcast on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.